Good morning and welcome to St. Luke's. Thank you for gathering with us today to make Eucharist.
As you are able, please stand and join us in singing hymn number 143, as found in either your bulletin or the blue hymnal.
Blessed be the God of our salvation. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whose blessed Son was led by the Spirit to be tempted by Satan, come quickly to help us who are assaulted by many temptations. And as you know the weaknesses of each of us, let each one find you mighty to save. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, "Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us." When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God: "A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power, and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house." The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans. The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is, the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The word of the Lord.
Let us attend the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. After his baptism, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. And on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The word of the Lord.
Praise to you, God.
In the ancient world, a very popular image was of a hero or a god who had defeated a dragon or a serpent or a lion, and the hero or the god is depicted with a foot on the neck of the slain creature. This was a very, very popular image. And indeed, this image, it was, we believe, comes from a time when human beings started to create small societies, when a few families would start to get together, to live together. And they had to create a space in the natural world for them, a space free of predators, a space where they could live together with some degree of safety. So the images, as you can imagine, these images are very, very old. And if you look at the psalm on page 6 of your bulletin, remember that this Lent we're talking about the psalms in the sermon this Lent. Verse 13 is precisely that image. You shall tread upon the lion and adder. You shall trample the young lion, meaning young and strong, and the serpent under your feet. The idea being that you will be the hero, which is kind of fun. But we also know that those images were eventually drawn on amulets of protection that people wore. So the image of the hero or the god triumphing over a beast was a reminder to people of divine protection for them. And indeed, Psalm 91 is all about trusting in God's protection. And it gets really interesting. Not only do we look back and see these amulets, but we also begin to see by the time of Jesus, they're starting to write down what came to be known as Targum. Targum was originally simply an oral translation of the Hebrew scriptures into Aramaic. And a Targum was spoken by a teacher teaching his congregation when Hebrew had become mostly a literary and biblical language and everyone spoke Aramaic like they did in Jesus' day. And so Targum started out as simply this oral translation of the Hebrew Bible into Aramaic. And around the time of Jesus, Targum started to be written down. And one of the things that we discover in Targum is verses 1 and 2 written in a call and response format. So that a leader might say, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, and the people would respond, abides under the shadow of the Almighty. He shall say to the Lord, you are my refuge and my stronghold, and the people might respond, my God in whom I put my trust. And on the one hand, that's really good liturgy, right? Because when you make a litany, you want to put into people's mouth the thing you want them to say in life. So having the people say, my God in whom I put my trust, is the thing that a religious leader wants her or his people to say all the time. So it makes good liturgical sense. It's a wonderful little piece of liturgy to see these targum written down with these two verses about trusting in God's protection written down in call and response form. And it gets yet even a little more interesting. Amanda Breckenheisen, the Hebrew Bible professor at Calvin College, notes that we have amulets from early Christians and Jews with little pieces of Psalm 91 in them. Again, a reminder about divine protection. Really kind of cool, I think. So one of the things that's so, though, about talking about divine protection is that in our era, and I'm sure in other eras too, we run into a bit of a challenge, right? What happens when somebody doesn't feel protected? Right? What happens when someone says, I don't believe in God because this awful thing happened to me and I didn't feel helped, aided, or protected? What I want to suggest to you is that that's going from the personal picture to the big picture. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But first, I want to talk about the psalm, which is big picture first, down to the personal picture. So in the psalm, especially the way the lectionary gives it to us today, verses 1 and 2 are sort of big picture. The psalm is promoting an existential stance, a position in the world, a mindset, a way of moving through the world that trusts in God for protection. And then as you read through the psalm, by the time you get to verse 9, which for our lectionary today just moves us right there, that big picture then is applied to the person, because you have made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your habitation. There shall no evil happen to you, etc., etc. So the psalm itself goes from the big picture to the personal, and recommends that maybe we think that way about this psalm. And in the psalm, we discover, you know, all these promises of protection. And I love verse 14 and 15 in particular, because they tell us we're talking about relationship. Because he is bound to me in love, therefore will I deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. In the ancient world, the most intimate way a human being could be connected to a deity is to know the deity's name. That's why there are rules about not pronouncing certain names of God. So, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I am with him in trouble. So we're talking about relationship here. And so what we discover as we think about this psalm is that the idea that God would shelter or protect me is an extension of the idea that God and I have a relationship. That this isn't God protecting me from afar by sending lightning bolts. But rather this is, I have a relationship with God. And the moment we start to think about that, we begin to realize that taking the mindset, the stance, the position in the world that God protects us actually equips us better for dealing with life's challenges. Because don't relationships change the two people in the relationship? Our relationship with God changes God and changes us. So we know, for example, there have been psychological studies done about prayer that say the person who is able to pray, okay, God, here's the challenge I'm facing, and it's really making me feel freaked out, and I could use your help, and I know that you have helped me to have these gifts, these skills, these resources, etc. That person has a better payoff psychologically from their prayer than the person who reinforces their own sense of powerlessness with their prayer. So the person who prays, oh my God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Reinforces their powerlessness and doesn't help themselves psychologically with their prayer. So again, that idea of trusting in God to provide protection is not only about God, but it's also a stance that empowers us, that makes us better able to face the challenges of life. So the psalm is recommending this stance, this position, this mindset that God and I have this relationship and that God protects me. That God and you are related and God will protect you. And you can trust in that. Now, let's go back to starting with the local picture first. I don't feel like God protected me through this bad thing or that bad thing. Therefore, I don't believe in God. One of the challenges in starting with the local picture is that it does become a test. It's what Jesus is talking about. When the tempter tempts Jesus by quoting Psalm 91 about dashing your foot, he'll protect you. You won't dash your foot against a stone. Jesus is saying you don't test God. In other words, you don't set up an external criteria by which to evaluate God. As if anything could be external to God. So I'm not going to throw myself off the pinnacle of the temple because that would be setting up Psalm 91 as a test to see if God's going to be God. That's not a good test because there isn't a good test for God. What there is for God is a relationship. So from the point of view of the Psalms, what the Psalms would say is, don't test God by saying, if God doesn't do this, I won't believe in God. Or if God doesn't do this, there is no God. If God doesn't help me in this crisis, there is no God. Because that's walking away from the relationship. And the Psalms always counsel staying in the relationship and staying related to God. So the Psalms have no problem saying, I'm not feeling helped by you, God. Do something. The Psalms have no problem with that. And in fact, they encourage that. For example, we all have recited or sung with the help of our wonderful choir a psalm with a sentence in it that starts, how long, O God? How long, O Lord, will you be quiet, absent, distracted, whatever. And because we say it and it's beautiful language, or we sing it the way I love when the choir leads us in the Psalms, and we don't remember that what the Psalm is trying to portray is the prayer that says, where are you? Because the Psalms have no problem with that. It's not that a person feels hurt or angry because they think God didn't protect them. That's a problem. The problem is we've taught people they can't tell God. They're mad at God. So that we leave them no option but to walk away from the relationship. Instead of saying, feeling left out? Feeling like God didn't take care of you? Okay, here's the prayer. All right, God, when's the last time you read 91? That's the prayer. Because the Psalter encourages us to have that trusting relationship. And when you have that trusting relationship with someone, you get to say when you're not feeling supported, when you're not feeling like the other person is living into the trust you've placed in them. That's the way relationships work. So our psalm challenges us to trust in God and to take the stance and the way of being in the world where we really believe we can trust in God, and to remember all the ways in our life and in the life of our ancestors that God has been protecting and trustworthy and acted on our behalf. And to know that sometimes we might get let down, and that doesn't end the relationship, but gives us an opportunity to double down on the relationship by telling God how we feel and telling God we don't think God's keeping up God's end of the bargain. Because ultimately, the basis for the trust that we have in God is not a doctrine or a teaching. It's our relationship.
As you are able, please stand and join me as we proclaim our faith, which covers the earth and spans the ages, by reciting the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God of God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Shepherd us, O God, beyond our wants, beyond our fears, from death into life.
Holy One, your steadfast love surrounds us. You watch over us, care for us, and gently lead us through temptation to life-giving paths.
We praise you and give thanks for all the ways we have felt your love and protection this week, remembering especially those celebrating birthdays, Mark, John, Jason, Carrie, Cynthia, Bill, Jim, Joel, Matthew, Robert, Barbara. Those celebrating wedding anniversaries, Laura and Norman. And those celebrating baptismal anniversaries, Jan, Linda.
We call to you, most able sustainer of all.
O God, our source of comfort and hope, you call us to prayer and assist our supplication.
We turn to you for those who are sick, suffering, or addicted, especially Caitlin, Lydia, Sophia, Catherine, Donna, Cher, Tom, Wally, Pam, Marilyn.
Guardian, preserver, and restorer, we cry to you.
Shepherd us, O God, beyond our wants, beyond our fears, from death and life.
Eternal One, you are ever present to us and ever responsive to our cries, though we often fear you will forget us.
We turn to you for those who have died, remembering especially Quinn, Richard, as well as all who mourn.
Fashioner of forms, who raises the dead, we implore you.
Shepherd us, O God, beyond our wants, beyond our fears, death and life.
Forthright God, you call us to peace, mercy, and justice.
We pray for peace advocates, social workers, and philanthropists. We pray for those who serve in our armed forces, Courtney, Joe, Kristen, Nathan, Sarah, Andrew, and Stephen. We pray for Michael, our presiding bishop, Wayne, our bishop, Randall, our priest, Greg, our deacon, Michael and Frankie in formation for holy orders, and all people in their vocations and ministries. We pray for leaders and all in authority, especially Donald, our president, and Gretchen, our governor.
Correcting, guiding, and forgiving one, we pray to you.
Shepherd us, O God, beyond our wants, beyond our fears, from death and life.
Creating God, you declare your glory and show forth your handiwork in the heavens and in the earth. Deliver us in our various occupations from the service of self alone, that we may do the work you give us to do in truth and beauty and for the common good. For the sake of him who came among us as one who serves, your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God, our neighbors, and ourselves. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have not done. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us.
Almighty God, have mercy on us, forgive us all our sins through the grace of Jesus Christ, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Our Lord Jesus Christ stretched out his arms of love on the hard wood of the cross so that everyone might come within reach of his saving embrace.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
Worship and praise belong to you, maker of light and darkness. Your wisdom draws beauty from chaos, brings a harvest out of sorrow, and leads the exiles home. In Christ your Son, enemies are reconciled, debts forgiven, and strangers made welcome. Your Spirit frees us to live as daughters and sons in our Father's house. We who by Christ's power follow the way of the cross, sharing the joy of his obedience, now offer you our praise with angels and archangels and the whole company of heaven, singing the hymn of your unending glory. Thanksgiving be to you, most loving Father, for Christ, in whom the world is reconciled. Lifted on the cross, his suffering and forgiveness spanned the gulf our sins had made. Through that self-giving act, death was swallowed up in victory, that life and joy might reign. Before he was given up to suffering and death, recalling the night of Israel's release, the night in which the sons of Egypt died, your chosen one, himself the firstborn, freely offered his life. At supper with his disciples, our Savior Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." As supper was ending, Jesus took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering now the suffering and death, and proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus, our Redeemer, we bring before you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of Christ. Grant that we may be kindled with the fire of your love and renewed for the service of your reign. Help us who are baptized into the fellowship of Christ's body to live and work to your praise and glory. May we grow together in unity and love until at last in your new creation we enter into our heritage in the company of Blessed Mary the God-bearer, apostles and prophets, and of all our brothers and sisters living and departed. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, to you be honor, glory, and praise forever and ever. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
The gifts of God for the people of God.
Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit, be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen.
And bow down before the Lord.
Grant, most merciful Lord, to your faithful people pardon and peace, that they may be cleansed from all their sins and serve you with a quiet mind through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.